We had a great conversation with Leanne, and I'm sure you'll find it very insightful. The only thing I needed to let you know is that at the beginning of our conversation, we had a technical issue, and so there's a few minutes missing, but the most of it is here. So go ahead and enjoy this conversation, and I hope you find it helpful.
For me, wellbeing has so much depth to it, and I sometimes get sad when we just, as organizations think, oh, we need an EAP, an employee assistance provider, or we just need some wellbeing lunches and conversations, because I think it's got so much depth to what it means to be well in ourselves and takes a lot of intentionality.
No, that's really good. And as you say that, the word that comes to me is peripheral. So many times well-being conversations are peripheral, and tick box exercises. And, you know, oftentimes people who start off their own businesses come from an organization where, as a professional, this is what they saw, and sort of trying to bring a reframe to that perspective becomes really, really important. And so I just would love you to just delve into some of the misconceptions. You know, as you've said, there's no clear definition. You've articulated a few of those, but could you actually just begin to name some of those misconceptions?
Well, if I think about entrepreneurs and leaders, I think one of the things that has become a bit of a trophy is that we need to work long hours in order to be successful, or that busyness is a mark of productivity and achievement. And actually, it feels quite hard sometimes to be counterculture and to take a different position on that actually I'm going to embrace my rest, because that means I'm going to be more productive, more efficient, more caring, more alert as a leader and entrepreneur. And therefore, I'm going to see the fruits of that and actually go further. And so I think that's definitely one of the big misconceptions. And, you know, as I said, I think it's kind of glorified a little bit in the entrepreneurial world. Like, you kind of, you know, read books, the 5 a.m. club. Are you up at 5 a.m.? Have you started your day? And how many hours are you working? And competition around, well, how many networking events? How many people did you speak to? It tends to become something about quantity rather than quality. And so, whereas well-being takes a slightly different position, because if we're prioritizing our well-being, then we see ourselves as whole people and not just a cog in a machine and not just an entrepreneur. That's not our only identity. But actually, it's something more holistic. It's about how well am I living my life, and how am I contributing to the relationships around me, to the environment that I live in, and knowing that that's going to have a direct impact on your work, on your leadership, on how you create communities, teams around you.
I'd say
that would be one of the first ones.
And I think you bring an interesting point. You know, when we look at ourselves as individuals, there's that part of also being self-aware and figuring out what works for me. 5 a.m. may not work for me. I probably am better off late into the night, you know, and then sleeping in. And so, you know, the aspect of knowing yourself as a unique person who is an entrepreneur, and figuring out then what then works for you so that you are at your best. I know we've had this conversation before with you, and I'd love for you to speak a little into it. And that has to do with energy management. You want to say a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think as you were talking, one of the things that was coming to my mind, or the word that was coming, was permission. As entrepreneurs, and one of the when I set up Thrive with colleagues, I realized, dang, I cannot blame the organization or another person for my overworking or for my burnout. I need to take responsibility. Now, that doesn't mean that organizations don't have a responsibility, and it'd be good to come back to that. But in terms of, I had a choice. I had to make a choice. How did I want to live? How did I want to manage my time? And I quickly learned that actually there are certain times that I'm better at being creative and thinking than other times.
Yeah.
Better times to take meetings. And sometimes, there's also an element of being an entrepreneur and a leader where you can make these choices maybe a little bit more easily than an employee can. I'm flagging in the afternoon, I'm procrastinating, and I know that this should not be that difficult. So I go and take a walk for 15 minutes and I step away from my desk and I shift task because my energy isn't in the right place for this particular exercise. And I've come to believe that if I come back to it a little bit later, which might be 15 minutes or it might be the next day, that I'm going to do that in significantly less time, because the energy is there. So it's not about what time of the day it is. It's about where am I in my head and my soul and my just body to actually do this particular piece of work. We've got deadlines and lots of realities as well. But I think it's actually about taking permission and recognizing the choices that you have as an entrepreneur to think about how you manage your well-being.
As you say that, it also raises the thing that you need to recognize, and that's the thing I find sometimes we can't do. You need to slow down enough to recognize I'm not being productive right now. And if I could take that 15-minute walk, or if I could, something I was doing a bit more of last year was jumping on the on a little mini trampoline I had, and I'd just go and jump on for 2 minutes, and come away feeling a lot better. But just recognizing that, because you can't do a different thing if you don't recognize what's actually taking place internally. And so I think that's a really good point that you raise. And I think with that, we need to become good students of ourselves and notice what's happening internally.
Can I just say, and that can be hard if we're not used to it. Actually, I think that sometimes we're not very observant on ourselves and what our own needs are because we're so engrossed in the task or completing something or and so I think just an encouragement, if that is an area where you struggle with, that actually it doesn't it's small and little habits can help with it. So even just taking 60 seconds before you start your next meeting, and just taking a couple of deep breaths and drawing your attention back to yourself and what's happening within your body. There are lots of great apps out there and body scan exercises, etc. But even without all of that, I think it's just taking when you, so I work from home. I walk downstairs to the kettle, and as I'm waiting for the kettle to boil, I'm just looking out at the views into the garden or looking out at the distance and just noticing what am I hearing? What am I smelling? What am I seeing? And just even taking that moment can help move you from where you are into the place of recognizing how are you doing. And then I personally feel like it creates a greater capacity to make the next decision, the next choice for what I'm about to enter into.
What do you do with guilt? Sometimes you find that there's this sense of guilt that I need to be working. I'm not working. This is just really wasting time. And, so what do I do with
Become friends with it. I can't say
that?
it necessarily goes away. It hasn't for me. I do struggle with, I think, the expectations that the world has on successful leadership. I'm an ambitious person. I want to achieve a lot in the time that I have. And but I think we also have to recognize that, and that and recognize that that's not truth. What that voice is saying, that what that guilt is saying, just to recognize it, to even allow it, and then to kind of investigate it a little bit. Where's that coming from? But then again, to decide what to do with it and what to replace it with. So one of the things that I believe is absolutely core for my well-being is sleep. And I have really noticed how the if I'm really prioritize my sleep, then I am just in such a better place as I enter into the next day in my relationships at home as well as in work and the decisions I'm making. So I don't always get up at 5 a.m. Sometimes I do, and I'm making that conscious decision that I'm choosing to get up at this time, and I'll put in some other things that I need to support me during the day. But actually, I'm making that decision, so I'm not comparing myself to other people that get up at 5 a.m. Because I know that I can have a really rich, productive, fulfilling day, and I still, will work the hours that I need to on that day, but it doesn't have to be at 5 a.m. That might sound like a really silly example, but for me, it's just about reframing it, and there's a level of acceptance, as well.
I think as I listen to you say that, comparison comes up, and I think comparison is a big thing right there. It's a trap of sorts, because the minute we begin to compare ourselves with other people, we then set up expectations that may not be realistic for ourselves, and also that don't allow us to step into the authenticity of what works for us and what doesn't. I don't know if you've had to address or seen challenges such as that, where there's this external pressure. When I say comparison, it's not even just me comparing myself to others, but others putting a demand on me. For example, I find a lot of times people who have grown up in place in families that are very performance driven. How do you pivot from that when you've grown up that way all your life, and all of a sudden well-being has become a thing now, and people are saying, take time to breathe, take time to, but that's not been your orientation. What do you do with that?
I think that's a great question, and where my mind's going to is that what does it look like to be proactive to get to know who you are and what your beliefs are? So we're all made up of so many beliefs, and values that we have, and some of those beliefs are not necessarily beliefs that we've chosen consciously. They're very subconscious deep in us because of how we grew up in our family units or in our local society, what societies, external environments, etc. And so, I think coaching, for example, is such a great place to begin to explore what are those beliefs that I have, and are those beliefs that are important to me that I actually do choose as an adult, as in this particular stage of life. And then for the ones that maybe come up to surprise you that you don't see as true, or you are not desirable, working through those and thinking about, well, what is the value that is important to you? And so really, I think a lot of whether it's comparison or kind of to do with expectations, it comes back to identity. How well do we know ourselves, and what level of humility do we have as well in also acknowledging, having those honest conversations with people if those expectations are wrong, or if there's the important conversations to have. So I personally have found huge benefit in coaching myself to kind of start working through some of those, in order to approach my well-being and my work better.
Okay, that's helpful. I'm wondering if anyone has any questions or comments at this point. I'm happy to open up and have you just unmute yourself and share a question or a comment. Like Leanne said, it's a nice intimate group, so we can do this. No,
I
yeah,
can
go
ask
ahead, Whitney.
a question. I'd love to hear from either of you, but Leanne, if you're so inclined to share, when you operate this way in work, in life, what is the trickle down effect? Of course, we're talking about personal well-being, but I'm curious about what is the response from community, from workplace, from those around you. We were talking about pressure, but I wonder also on the flip side, like, is there a positive net gain or effect that is a response from others when you take care of yourself in these ways? And what does that look like? You want me to take that, Anne? Do you want to?
Yes, no, go ahead.
So the first thing that's coming to me is the social aspect of well-being. And as a leader, if I am making these choices to prioritize my well-being, I am therefore role modeling and setting an example, and giving other people permission to do the same thing. And in turn, that helps individuals to own their own well-being. And to make the decisions that they need to look after themselves and therefore show up in a much healthier way to work as well. One of the things that really struck me, and this has been particularly over the last year where last year's with Thrive, where I've made choices that were quite different to my previous leadership role. I made time for people. I wasn't on the clock in the same way that I would have been like, okay, it's 30 minutes, let's move on to the next thing. And I often had people share, wow, thank you for just making the time and the luxury of that time and space and for people to be seen and heard and just connection being so important. And that's been from two perspectives. One is in the workplace and really, especially as a virtual organization, which is what I lead, that we need to prioritize relationship and building that connection with one another. But I've also made it in my personal life whereby I've met a friend who maybe is currently not working or is working part-time and just had a long lunch together. That fills my cup up, but it's also really good for that person and our relationship. And then I come back in a much better space to my work as well. And so I think social relationships are such a fundamental part of our well-being that I think can't be stressed enough, actually. I see that in a positive way, benefiting our organization as we prioritize caring about people and spending time with people. It creates a community and relationships that mean we can work well together.
And I think just adding to that is that when you then, as part of a practice, are making time to cultivate those meaningful relationships, it then means that when you actually do need the support emotionally, you will have the support. And whether that's at work with your team or, within family relationships. And so to focus on work, which I find entrepreneurs sometimes will but do, and do really well without looking after relationships, then becomes a challenge. I mean, I'm sure you may have heard this phrase where, at your 80th birthday, you're looking back, you're looking at who's around you as you celebrate it, and there's a handful of people. And sometimes, unfortunately, those were the people that you never spent time with, never invested and never told them that you cared for them. So there's the family side, there's a friendship side, but there's also the colleague side of things, I find, like, especially when you're working within organizations, you have a business you're running. If you don't take time to, I like that you use those words, Leanne, to have people feel seen and heard. When it comes to evaluating performance, you have fear ripping the organization or the team because it's coming from a place of You haven't supported me. You don't know me. We haven't had any conversation around this. I'm not saying it's always the case, but I have found that when you take the time to interact one-on-one with colleagues, with team members in an organizational context, in your business context, then you will find that you get more leverage. You can move further with them. And you will also know what's, you will notice when they're acting out of character and there's something going on. So in terms of productivity, it tends to be higher. And so your well-being then is predicated on theirs in the sense that if we're relating well, then you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and I can stay in my space and do what I'm supposed to be doing, and we can be definitely a lot more productive and a lot happier, I would say, in addition.
And maybe I can just add that the being an entrepreneur and a leader, we probably have heard this a lot, and maybe we've also experienced it, can be pretty lonely. And it can also feel like I just can't switch off because the buck falls with you and you're always on. And I guess I just you know, there's different types of relationships that we're going to want. And you know, I've actually sat down and sometimes done this myself, but a bit of a relationship audit, like who's in your world? Who
Yes,
are those
absolutely.
relationships and what kind of buckets do they fall into? And so as well as my family and my friendships, outside of work and colleagues are in and out, you know, in my life as well, I actually need peers to chat
Yes.
things through with from a work perspective that understand the pressures of managing cash flow and trying to find new business and growing an organization and managing people. So whether it's a, you know, in different countries, depending on where you are, there can be different networks that you can join. Like in the UK, where I am currently at, there's something called the Institute of Directors, or you can develop that group informally. So I have some other business owners that I have long lunches with, and we catch up on life and work, and just it's a safe place to really process things through with. I don't need a coach or a counselor in those moments. I need someone who's a peer that we can just bounce things off, encourage one another, and just empathize with one another in at times as well. And that's also part of my well-being is creating that. And so if I would really encourage that kind of relational audit, but definitely peers as part of your well-being support also.
And that does speak to what you mentioned earlier, filling your cup. So your peers will fill your cup, won't they? At least on the entrepreneurial side. Great.
I think one of the things, Anne, that's come up just to mention as well is around a myth that many organizations can have is that well-being is a personal responsibility, not an organizational responsibility. And I that is a myth. there for me, it's a bit of a both and. I think it's really important that we remind people what choices they do have and where their agency is, and try to cultivate and foster that because that's really important. But as leaders, so no matter whether we have one person working with us, one consultant or one full-time member of staff, or we have a team of 50 or 100 people, we have a responsibility to lead well and create a culture of well-being. And I personally really believe that starts with you as the leader, and then in the systems that you're creating. And that for me starts right at your vision and values. What are your values? How is that the guiding compass with how you do things in the organization, how you show up? And you want to create other ambassadors within the organization to understand that vision that you have for well-being, that you have for culture. But those two are so interlinked. You really can't just bring in a counseling option for staff or a stress management training. That can be helpful, But really, it's about taking a complete step out to think about the values, how we do things, in order to support people.
So fancy welcome. You're right, misconception. Wellness is a personal responsibility. Anyone have questions? Happy for you to unmute yourself and ask a question or make a comment.
Hello. I hope
Hello,
you can
Audrey.
hear. I hope you can
Yes,
hear
we
me.
can.
I don't know if I have a question. I just wanted to say that I feel that this conversation is exactly what I needed to hear today. that I just thought to tell you, even in a very small group. And like I've been coaching, this is going to be the 10th year. And I feel like, as you said, about energy and about as well allowing yourself. I think I already gotten through the first cycle of guilt like years ago. And gotten a bit too comfortable at one point, right? And then a lot of changes happened for me now to have to come up and actually give energy in spaces where I might not feel that I want to give my energy. So I feel that it was interesting, like listening the last 30 minutes while I was walking on a sunny day, which wasn't here for a long time because it was so gray outside in London. It was just a really good, it was good to hear you both speak about it and also break it down in or just to remind, just as a reminder, really. So I just wanted to say thank you. That's the only reason why I muted myself, just to add.
No, thank you, Audrey. No, that's really great. And you know what, Audrey, you bring up something that I've come across several times, and I'm sure you have too, Leanne, where there's so much that we know that sometimes we don't do. So this isn't about bringing in stuff no one knows, but it's repeating things. So we remind ourselves that we're important. And if we will look after ourselves, then we can run better businesses, you know? So thank you for that. I appreciate you saying that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I think something, yeah, thank you again. That's really encouraging. And one of the things that came to mind as you shared is that it can also look different in different seasons of our life. And that feels really pertinent to me right now. So I've just relocated from Kenya to the UK, and I had to build community all over again. And so my well-being in the absence of this really tight community that I had, I realized working from home was really difficult, and I used to love it. And so I had to completely change everything in order, and I had to realize first that my cup was getting low. And so that's been a real discovery of the last couple of months, is actually what I need in this season looks really different. And there can be so many reasons, whether it's a relocation, whether it's a bereavement, whether it's a new parent or an illness that's come upon us. There can be so many reasons why life changes, and actually how we need to respond and the choices we need to make for ourselves can also look different. And again, the word that just keeps coming up is permission. So what permission do we give ourselves to change that habit, to do something else that we might need that could be beneficial?
I think, Leanne, just to add on to that is being kind to ourselves, learning to be kind to ourselves. We are often very kind to other people, and can be quite brutal with ourselves. But if we could be kind to ourselves, then it makes it easier to step into that space of find giving ourselves permission. So Fancy, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon. I will not
Hello.
allow the camera. I am all sweaty. I'm working out.
Okay, good for you.
Sorry, my voice sounds very rough. I have a cold. I just
Okay.
want to agree to the statement that changes in life can be very difficult. I personally have found that just wellness, working out, and being mindful of my internal environment is like the external environment is a reflection of my internal environment. It has been very, very helpful for me to be cognizant of all the changes in my life recently and just working out, being mindful, taking care of my body, taking care of my mental health. It has been very, very helpful, especially stepping in a new role as an entrepreneur. And I can see the same translating even to my new employees and all that. Like it's a reflection. I can see it's like almost like a mirror. This is what you are giving to other people. So if I don't have what is positive, I cannot give positivity. So I agree 100%. And this has, sorry I came in late, but the little I have listened to is very refreshing.
No, thank you. Thank you, Fancy. That's really good. Really, really good. Yeah. No, Audrey, that's perfectly great. Happy to have you. Happy to have you. I just wonder, Leanne, as we start to round up things, what would you say to you mentioned earlier just the importance of at least this is what I picked, the importance of like noticing your team, noticing where people are at. And I know you have a great culture of checking in. And I'm curious if you could share with us some tips, some ideas around checking in with myself, checking in with close relationships, and checking in with work relationships.
Sure. I recognize that all of us are going to be different, and so what works for me might not work for you, and so it's I offer this up and adapt it and change it to be something that's useful. I think one of the helpful things for self is it might even be asking yourself a question, the same question every single morning. What's my energy levels today? Or how am I today? Or maybe it's something around where do I need to top up, or how can I thrive today, or what am I excited about? So, you know, it's thinking about, there are so many different questions that you could ask, but it's about asking the question and then taking even 60 seconds just to reflect on the answer. It doesn't have to be a long exercise where you sit down and you journal it out. I came across some great questions actually recently on the joys of Instagram scrolling. It just had a bunch of questions which I felt were really apt in terms of this kind of noticing. And I've just got them here, so I'm going to read them out if that's okay. How can I slow down? How can I simplify things? How can I bring silence into my life? How can I savor this moment? How can I speak up? How can I settle in? How can I serve my community? How can I shed my armor and masks? And how can I soften my approach to life? So maybe there's one of those questions there that speaks to you more than the others, and just taking 60 seconds to sit with that and see what emerges. And maybe that's something you'll think about throughout the rest of the day. When it comes to teams and from a work perspective, this is something I feel really passionate about. And we set up at the very beginning of our organization a weekly Tuesday meeting that lasts 30 minutes. It doesn't matter whether there's two people there or 25 people there. And it's always 30 minutes. And we simply check in. Each person has a few minutes. Somehow it always works that everyone gets to go, no matter the size. And we might have a question like, super ice cream, you can only pick one of them, which would you pick? Or maybe it's something more deeper and philosophical. We kind of switch it up regularly. And then you share how you're doing. It's not about what have you got to do today? What are your tasks this week? What's your priority? It's about, how are you? How was your weekend? And just checking in. And that's being such a beautiful, consistent thing for us as a team to do, and helped us to get to know people in ways that you wouldn't expect through those questions. Or another very practical example, when I did someone's annual review recently, we probably spent the first 90 minutes having just a cup of tea and chatting about life and getting to know one another. We didn't delve straight into the content of the review, but it was just making time and that checking in. So it can be as anything as simple as making 1 minute, 5 minutes at the start of a meeting, right through to creating luxury space in some ways, to have that. So I think that those would be some of the ways just to kind of slow down and notice, and to check in with one another.
It would be great if you dropped us those questions, that checklist. That was very helpful, and then we can share it around with everyone. Yeah, that's a great check in with oneself. What would you say about checking in with people close to you?
You know, there's some really great stuff on this at the minute. Simon Sinek, if you check out some of his content, he's just having some great conversations about the importance of friendships and the importance of checking in with one another. I think any of those questions that I shared, you could ask to a friend, actually, engage at that level of conversation. Sometimes we say, "How are you?" in a really kind of flippant way. You know, my husband sometimes calls me out on this. He's like, "You're up the stairs and you've just asked me how I am." And actually, how do we slow down to really ask
Yeah.
the question and to take time, even if there's silence initially, to just wait and listen to what the response is going to be? So, be authentic, just show up for people that you love in your life, and create that space. And I think that that's really important, because we've got to remember that we are not living in this world isolated. And so, even as we think about well-being, that is well-being in an ecosystem of many, many more people. And so, thinking about collective well-being is also important. And how can you give into that? Because actually, it will fill your cup up as well. And so, I think that feels, yeah, like a really important point to mention as part of this conversation.
I've just got a quick question, actually. As an entrepreneur or a leader, how do you feel about being asked by your team members how you're feeling?
Yeah, that's I had that just come up yesterday, actually, and I'm pretty honest with how I'm feeling, and I try to be authentic. I try to you know, I think sometimes there's also what's appropriate, and you've kind of got to discern a lot of the time. So, you know, what is appropriate or not. But, you know, for me, there's been a bit of a journey over the last 7 years, and there's been some big lows in life as well as highs. And I've been pretty transparent with that to the team. But I've had to discern. It doesn't mean I just open up my complete heart and spill absolutely everything out, because you're also managing people and culture and dynamics. So, I do think that I think discernment is the word that I'm using, Pauline. It feels a bit of a cop out, but hopefully that helps.
No, that's right, actually. And as you said earlier on, it's about getting support from people who are your peers as well. So, no, that makes a lot of sense.
Thank you for your question.
Leanne, I think one of the things that's coming up from what you just said about, especially when we're talking about people close to us, is slowing down. I can't notice if I'm not slowing down. I don't want to hear how you are if I am rushed. And you know, over and over again, you've used the word permission. How do we give ourselves, especially as entrepreneurs, permission to slow down when we've got deadlines, when we've got all sorts of things happening?
The first thing I would say is, I think it takes practice. So you might give yourself permission today and you might really struggle to do it tomorrow. Have grace for yourself that that just happened, and then try again. So I think it takes practice. I think that we have to, you know, I think there's something about contentment and there's a deadline and we also need as entrepreneurs, there's hard work, there's professionalism, there's being structured, there's lots of things and building blocks that we need to have in place to support us. And if those are in place and we're working towards a deadline, then we also have to be content with what we're submitting, with the time that we have. And there's always room to be better and improve things. But I think one of my fellow colleagues often said to me, he was like, we can't wait till it's perfect. We've got to go. Like, we've got to get started. And so I always remember that as just such a practical thing that if I waited for everything to be perfect and totally organized in the way that I wanted it, I wouldn't be where I am today. And so there's a level of contentment and trusting myself that I've done what I could do with the time that I had. And I'm going to trust that and hope, a bit of optimism in that space. But yeah, so contentment, I think, is a really important part of that.
Great. Now that's good. Anyone have a question or a comment, as we start to wind up?
I just want to say how much I've appreciated the focus also on authenticity. I think that that's a really important element in this conversation for us to lean into. And thank you for raising it on a couple of occasions. And just to remember that we're all unique in how we approach well-being and how we approach the work that we're doing and how we enter into all these spaces is such a personal journey and a collective journey, and how our authenticity contributes to that collective. And we can't all be the same. I think that these check-in questions just point to that even further, and how to continue to lean in and be true to self in the choice and the actions that we take. So thank you for that theme that has bubbled up a couple times.
Thank you for your reflection back, Whitney. That's helpful to hear it that way. Anyone else?
Hello.
Yes, Fancy.
Yes, I think I want to add a comment to on authenticity. We were thinking the same thing. Lately, I have found myself just trying to be true to myself, because in a world that is running so fast and everyone trying to stay relevant, it's very easy for one to lose themselves. So I have been consciously staying true to myself unapologetically, and really diving into things that resonate with me without looking in the outside world of what is happening, or what is in the rat race, or what can I get into to fit in. Authenticity, that is very profound.
No, that's great. That's great. And it's interesting that you say that again, because as Whitney was speaking, one of the things that came to mind was how boring would our lives be if everybody was the same? We were never intended to be the same. We all bring color to life by being who we really are. And one of the things I have found as I've worked with entrepreneurs, the more one embraces who they really and truly are, the easier it is to actually build that life and the business that they love. And one of the things I was just fascinated by was something that was said by Marcus Buckingham. He's the author of a book, Love Plus Work. He previously worked with Gallup. And one of the things he says is that your body, your hormones actually agree with you when you're in that sweet space of being who you are and doing what you love. And isn't it so true that, when you're in deep work, normally it's because you really enjoy what it is you're doing. And I mean, think about the times when you've let go and just given yourself permission, there's that word again, to fully be, I don't know why I thought of this. I had said I wasn't going to say, but now I will anyway. Human beings, not human doings. It can sound a bit cliche, but what would happen if we all went back to being human beings, and therefore not comparing ourselves with other people? I'm not talking about not being courteous to others, no, not at all, but embracing fully who I am, because that's where vibrant living begins, isn't it? For anyone I have worked with and seen, come out of their shell, it's because they've finally come to embrace who they are and decided, you know what, I've got something to give the world. I've got something to contribute. And I have a place, in this world. So sorry, I don't know how I've come into this, but yeah, as I listen to everyone, that's part of what's coming up for me. But yeah, Leanne, why don't we give you the last word on this?
Well, Anne, I think that was an epic close, actually. Vibrant living, I think that's the call. So, yeah, I guess it's the invitation is what are you going to
Yes.
do this day to continue to move into that vibrant living? And so what choice will you make today for vibrant living?